Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Kermit Baker, the chief economist with the American Institute of Architecture and also a Harvard economist that tracks the remodeling business with the Joint Centers for Housing Studies. Kermit, how you doing?
Good morning, Kemp. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
It's good to talk to you. Last time we talked, people were in planning mode, and you were helping me tell my audience what they should be planning for in 18. Now we're a little closer. We've got a big tax reform plan behind us, which might impact outlook. So let's get into that. First, though, let's talk about the Architectural Billing Index. I guess the last one was the November read, and it popped up a couple points, didn't it?
It popped up to 55 on our index, Kemp. And to put that in perspective, anything above 50 suggests that architecture firms are increasing their design billings, and therefore that's going to lead to more construction activity. That's related to more construction activity. It's been a very good year for architecture firms. Our architecture billings index has been really quite strong throughout 2017. You know, a turnaround, you know, the numbers were stronger in 17 than they were in 16 or 15, and that's really quite surprising at this stage in the cycle. I mean, I think everyone thinks we're sort of winding down, sort of tail end of things, but we see a little bump coming on the non-residential side of the market this year.
I know you always like to point out that this is a leading indicator and has a long-term effect. I mean, it affects construction 9 to 12 months away, and then you factor in flooring, which is the last thing installed. So these plans that are being drawn are going to be affecting 19 probably for the flooring business.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. It's 9 to 12 months sort of on average, but as you say, sort of the tail end of the construction process is going to see leads even beyond that. So that's looking well for the next, you know, as you say, four, five, six quarters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think there's bigger news here on this tax reform, and I guess it'll have an effect both on the commercial and residential market. Tell me what your read is there.
Well, on the commercial side, I think it's going to be uniformly positive. I mean, we talked about our architecture billings index, so we're seeing sort of the fundamentals solid on that. And then, you know, from the tax reform, you know, lower tax rate for businesses, that's going to encourage investment. A lot of that investment goes into new facilities, so I think that's a plus. And then secondly, sort of the ability to expense capital expenditures, you know, not depreciate them as we normally see the case, but write them off right away. So I think that's certainly looking very positive for investment in non-residential buildings for 18 and even beyond.
Yeah, let me key in on that. That's a big point. I think most people have heard it and seen it and know what it means. But, I mean, I just was in Germany this weekend at the Domotex, the largest flooring show, and I was talking to equipment manufacturers, and they say their backlog is through the roof. It's because you can buy equipment or you can buy even real estate. So this tax reform is changing the pace that you can write these expenses off, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. I think it gives it a good boost. It really changes the sort of the calculations on this pretty dramatically. I mean, to kind of wrap around, it's we haven't talked about this in a while, but the labor shortages and potential increases in materials pricing may become more of an issue because we got a good solid tailwind behind demand on this side.
But I saw an article you wrote, I guess, right the first week in January, and you were talking about how, you know, this could possibly have an impact on single-family housing that's not positive. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, you know, I think the flip side of the plus on the commercial side is that it is taking some of the preferences from single-family housing. You know, we're capping the mortgage interest deduction a bit lower than it used to be, $750,000 now. That's not a factor for most, but it will affect some. We're capping state and local taxes, including property taxes deductions, at $10,000. That's going to affect some higher income folks in some higher tax states. You know, on the home improvement side, which, as you mentioned, Kemp, I track pretty closely, we no longer can deduct home equity lines of credit, sort of, you know, the main way of financing home improvements. And so it's going to cost households more if they want to finance home improvement projects moving forward. And then finally, you know, there's going to be more borrowing coming out of this tax plan. You know, as a way of sort of kind of greasing the skids, there was some deficit built into this, and that's going to lead to more federal borrowing. That's going to raise interest rates, and that's going to raise undoubtedly probably mortgage rates too. So that'll make it really more difficult for the average owner to qualify for home ownership. So I think we've got three or four little negatives here that, once you sum it up, we really could see it in terms of activity in the housing market this year.
There's two schools of thoughts, I think, on this. I was reading another article, and they're saying that it's a good chance disposable income will go up, at least in the short term, for a few years, because the tax breaks tail off after 4 or 5 years. Does the increase in disposable income, especially in this remodel sector, does that help? Like you said, you can't write off home equity loan interest. You know, that's been 3%. You know, I don't know. But this is where you feel it's going, and you're a Harvard economist, so you know what you're talking about. But it's interesting to see both sides of that.
Yeah, well, I think it's on the margin. Are interest rates high now? No. You know, will going a little bit higher make a difference? Will the ability to deduct home equity line of credit interest payments make a difference? You know, I think on the margin. I think we had a good, strong tailwind behind housing this year, and I think this bill just slowed that just a bit.
Okay. All right. Well, another factor is this values of homes. And, you know, I think if you're responsible, you're thinking about your retirement, eventually you're going to want to tail back a little bit on work, and it's nice to have built some equity there and some real estate.
Yep. No, absolutely. I think that's certainly a plus. And I think, you know, there's been some analysis done on what impact is this tax bill going to have on house prices. Mm-hmm. And I think the results I've seen are modest, that probably home prices over the next 2 years will go up 3-5% less than they would have without it. Not a real big deal, but I think something to sort of factor into the calculations.
When's the next report that you're putting out with the Joint Centers for Housing Studies?
Yeah, that's a quarterly report, and that's going to come out later this week, Kemp. So your listeners should watch that to see, you know, what we see happening on the home improvement front. That's been sort of a bright spot throughout this recovery on the residential side, and you get a chance to see where we see that going as we move further in 2018.
The URL for that is JCHS?
Yeah, it's www.jchs, for Joint Center for Housing Studies, .harvard.edu, and that's our LIRA, Leading Indicator for Remodeling Activity.
All right, Kermit, it's great to talk to you. Appreciate you spending time with our audience. Again, been talking to Kermit Baker, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloridaDaily.net.